the Director of Clinical Services at Boys Town.
Not to be confused with Boys Home.
What about the girls?
There's no girls town.
I felt so offended. I wanted to quit with you.
Oh my god.
Wait, Boys Town and Boys Home are two different things? This is your daily catch-up. Boom.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So today we have a very special guest, Adrian Sung, the Director of Clinical Services at Boys Town.
Hey,
welcome to the show!
Thank you!
Wow, you can't for yourself, you do that.
She burned me in the first 2 seconds.
Boys Town.
Boys Town.
Which is not to be confused with Boys Home. Home.
Correct. Yeah.
So what Different. Do you do at Boys Town?
Well, I am the Director for Clinical Services.
Mm,
so, big name, right?
Mm.
Basically, is look after all the gina law, I guess.
Mm. Like literally yeah. Like
no, your- no, okay, I don't work directly with the boys, but I work with the staff who looks after not only the boys, but we have other services. So, right. Boys Town is very different from Boys Home.
Yeah, I always-
Can you give us a summary of the difference?
Sure. I think first you look at location. Boys Town is at Upper Bukit Timah, whereas Boys Home is at Jurong.
I see.
And the difference is that the boys in Boys Town, they come from a range of various reasons why they are sent there. We started off as a war orphanage. After the war, we opened up the home for the orphans.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of people, okay? All my staff, every time I say, can you change name? Can you change name? Because people think every time boys are town, they're all bad boys, naughty boys.
Yeah, it does.
Which is the boys' home.
Yeah, I think boys' home is a home run by the government. So like, you know, the cases that you read about sometimes in the news, they get sent to boys' home. So it's a reformatory home. You know,
right?
Where they're sent there because of their sentence, lah.
Usually, delinquent behavior or out of control by parents, that kind of stuff.
I see. And unfortunate events that leads them there, poor decisions. So, let's say traditionally in Boys Town, right? When I first started out as a caseworker, we had compassionate cases. So we do have families who say, "I need you to help me look after the boy because the mother disappeared." Or, you know, the parents pass away suddenly. So we will take these kids on compassionate ground and give them education. Then they'll study in one of our schools. La.
So what is the minimum age that you can take a child in?
Officially 10.
So before you say officially?
Occasionally, 9 plus will come in. Occasionally. Yeah, because...
Compassionate grounds.
Yeah, I guess if you think of a residential home, it's a group home, right?
Mm, yeah.
So sometimes if they're too young, you know, they're not able to take the stress.
So what about the girls?
girls, at this moment, we only have girls in our fostering service and our youth reach and our clinical intervention. Other services got girls.
So right. Boys Town.
But only take boys to stay in headquarters. Remember
so
I
there's
said,
no girls town. Services.
Girls Town don't have, but there are other girls' homes available.
Right, I see. Right. I mean, it's start by priest lah. So not nice for them to adopt girls lah. And so from Boys Town, how does one enter and then how does one graduate?
At this present moment, in the last few years, we are now a gazetted home, which means that we actually signed a contract with the government, an agreement with the government, and they place their kids there with us.
I see.
So most of the kids are what we call the kids with some trauma issues. Mm. So they're the child protection cases that comes in.
I see. Mm. So abusive family, for example.
Yeah. So
where you come in.
I know, right?
I see.
So my job is very easy. Man. My job is hire people and then people will look after them. There is another director that looks after residential, but I look after the other clinical services that looks after the community kids. So one of the vibrant ones would be youth reach that goes out there to look at street kids.
Street kids.
What is that? Street kids?
Kids who hang out past midnight, sepak takraw, small, whatever they're doing there.
I feel like I was a street kid before.
Yeah. So the youth reach van will kind of drive around and then they will check you up. They ask you to follow Instagram.
Oh, what? Mine was police.
There's a van who shows up to the street kids and then ask them to follow on Instagram.
I mean, long time ago, you know, people get binge drunk right. At Zoo and all these other places. So the van would... Some lorry, you know, won't believe it. They drive and they pick up these kids.
That is a bit scary.
Yeah, it's like, you're drunk.
The guy is just washing it.
Yeah. What's wrong? Like, what is good?
Load them up.
Then the two of them swing. On three.
No, like, we're like, hello, hello, are you okay? That kind of thing. They offer drink, you know. Sober a little bit. Because dangerous, nah, these girls or guys lying down there on the streets, you know.
I'm trying to piece together, right?
Yeah.
So, for example, if the government does deem that there is a minor that... is in need of rehoming at Boys Town. Mm. So at some point, if the parents don't qualify to home them back into their own house, then what happened?
So the social worker will work very hard to try to either integrate them home. If not home, will be kinship home. Like an uncle, auntie.
Foster, uncle, auntie
that can take care of them, right? Then if not, then really bopian, right? Then they stay in the hostel. For independent living, then age out by 24.
But what happens at 24? Like at 24, I haven't BTO yet.
24, if you haven't, then generally we will rent like HDB flat and a room. Then we'll probably sponsor, like, you know, give them a head start like 3 months.
Okay.
Then let them continue after that.
Really, wow, that's really so costly. God. That's insane.
Yeah, I know. But really, really thank God. I mean, now these days, we do have places where they can go to. Some of them will live with one another.
Oh, so cute.
They crash on each other's
pad. Like roommates. You mentioned that you were a caseworker, right?
Yeah, I started out as a caseworker.
And how long ago was that? Like, what year was it?
I don't know if you're born or not. 1997, March. 20, I think I counted 27.
I was primary one.
Oh my goodness, such a baby.
I feel nice about that.
Actually, it can be my kid. It can be my son.
No, but I guess the question is like, why do you even choose to get into this job in the first place? Like, was a caseworker like something that you wanted to do?
No. Actually, I graduated with a psychology degree. You know, with this great ambition that I'll be a psychologist, right? Then when I came back to Singapore, it was like, nope, you need a master's. Then I'm like, huh? Still must study. Yeah. I was like, then the parents were like, hey, pay so much money, you better go get a job. Fine. So get a job first, law, before I figure out. So this is my first job, man.
Oh my.
I think it was a good journey, 27 years of just being in an organization, but doing different things.
Yeah,
I started a caseworker, so I managed like 40 boys, you know, at that time. Then after that, convert. So I was like school counselor at one point, helping out in other agencies to start up online counseling at one point. Then I was rotating, doing education in Boys Town, doing volunteer work. Basically, everything under the sun that the organization had, I go and try long. Except the corporate services. Haven't tried them on yet.
But I can imagine like when you first start out, right? Like, I study all these like theories in school and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly you are like thrown into managing 40 boys who all have their own different kind of troubles and all that kind of stuff. Like, was the learning curve
steep? But then later when you look beyond, right, the color, look beyond who they are, you recognize that 也是人. You know, they're humans, they're struggling. You probably need a little bit gentler with them because there is this whole facade that they put up. Because they've been hurt, right? So they're not going to go home vulnerable, bleeding heart to say, I want to tell you my story. They don't, right? So you need to win them over. So I used to have an analogy where I used to tell people, you know, they're like cats, you know, little kittens. When you pick up a stray kitten, now don't have. When we first got them, right, they would be very fierce. They're like, right? No,
that's a very cool impression.
Right. So then they were like, hey, them are grateful. I mean, I used to think, so I'm grateful. Now I pick up from the market and you still can treat me like that. But then in a week or two, right, then they become cute and ambles along. I think that's what trauma does. That when you're traumatized, right, the first is fight.
Yeah.
You know, the limbic brain, fight, flight, freeze, frenzy, right? You fight, you know. Then when they know they're safe, then they calm down and they become the little kitten. So it's the same in Boys Town. When they first come, it's an adaptation. You leave your family, then you go into the whole big mess, so many people, right? And then you get to eat what time, sleep what time, bathe what time, exercise what time, go do homework or not. Wow, suddenly this whole barrage of different parents come to you, right? Then you become the kitten. The last time I did this on Zoom, right? Somebody got traumatized. So I apologize to all those. It's like, meow.
But were there any like cases that were, you know, like stuck with you? Like after, since 1997, that kind of one.
Yeah, without breaking confidentiality, right?
Sure.
You know, this one case, I journeyed with him from the start. You know, 13 years old, he came in, 12 plus, and he left me all the way at 17. At 13 years old, I won't believe it. Long time ago when I started work, there's something called 8 days.
No. Okay, now I feel old.
Magazine, okay, yeah. Magazine. Yeah. And then it's
they're still around.
Oh, okay. Oh, no,
you read me? Oh, okay,
yeah,
anyway.
All the time.
So this is 8 days, right, that you get it, right? I think on certain days. But if you're lucky, you get it on a Saturday. I happen to get it on a Saturday. So it's crisp 8 days, you know. Then I put it in my cupboard. That time I worked Saturdays. Then I was seeing another boy. Then when it came out, I was like, hey, how come my cupboard like open? You know?
Oh, no.
Right? Then I went, hey, I remember this fella came in. We didn't lay a hand on him, okay? But we persuaded him like, hey, better return. Da, da, da. We tried the soft way. We tried the scary way, you know, with our fierce voice, but didn't work, right? And finally he said, okay, fine. Then when he gave it back to me, right, he was crumpled. I cried, you know. I feel like a loser saying this now. But I was so upset, you know.
Saturday 8 days.
I know, it was a Saturday 8 days. It was crisp. You know, I haven't read it yet. And here this fella crumpled. You know why he crumpled, right? Because he probably shoved it in his pants and ran out of my room. Then I felt so offended, right? Then I felt like, ew, so gross. Where did he shove it? You know?
Oh my God.
Yeah, then I wanted to quit with it. That was the first time.
How
I was
old
like,
were you then?
20, younger than 25. Lah.
I see.
I mean, he stole my money too, but never mind. That was not the point, right? It was my 8 days. I was very fixated about
eight
it.
8 days is more important.
It was about $2.30,
no,
guys.
No, it was the you fact that I didn't read it first. I mean, I went to process this and I said, hey, macam I didn't read it first, right? And then he crumpled it, you know? Then he take it without my permission. If I read it first, right, he take it, I'm okay, you know? Somebody took my 8 days.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was, okay, like, that was then, okay? But as I continued working with him, he had a multiple series of offenses and all that.
Right.
Then I even went to boys' home to visit him at one time because he got breached, right? So then he came out.
Also,
you know, he in and out.
If
one,
in boys' town, your delinquency then, cannot be managed, they pass
then,
over.
Yeah, because he was under back an then, order la. Back then, right?
Okay.
So journey further, right? I remember this significant thing, right? This is where I know I'm quite forgiving. When I was 16, okay? When he was 16, I think this is real, okay? When he was 16, I remember he was going home. Then I'm like, oh, okay, you know, take care. I'll see you on Monday when you come back. He said, okay, can. 1 hour later, when I'm on my way out for another event, right? My boss called me. He said, hey, so-and-so called you. So I picked up the handphone and I, hey, you know what I heard him crying. Then I said, okay, what happened? Cannot say right. Then I said, where are you now? He said, at home. Then I said, stay there, I'm coming. There's certain housing estates that are quite scary. It's one of those like long corridor, dark one. I saw him at the side, sitting at the landing, right? Like that lah, you know? Then I know, okay, he's safe. I looked corner, right? Then I saw, wow, the gate was open, but the gate was locked, at lock.
Yeah.
Oh. And then, oh, wet, black. Huh? Then I knew somebody burned his house.
Oh my God.
Are we talking about like loan sharks?
Well, I think so. Can you imagine? He walked home. He went like that. Then he tried to call his relatives, but nobody picked up.
Right.
Of course, he panicked. La. Then I just looked at him. I said, hey, let's go home. Then he just let me bring him to Boys Town. And the whole ride back, we didn't say anything. Except me telling him, it will be okay. We got your back. That's when I knew I was forgiving. I could have remembered 8 days and dilly-dally.
You know,
but I didn't.
I thought where this was going was that he bought you 8 days and returned to you.
No, actually,
it's still time to.
You can send her a link. It's free now, no more.
I should text him and say. No, now he lives in Thailand, I think.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so as someone that studied psychology, right? I mean, to an extent, it's fascinating. But to an extent, we also know that psychology can make good money, right? With that in mind, you stuck in social service for this long.
7 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you not sometimes think about
private practice?
Yeah.
Going full time? But then that would be so boring, I feel, if you do only one job. It's one thing to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing to buy a very fancy house. But it's a different thing to build homes for people. I always feel that. I say, well, joining the social service may not be able to buy you the bungalow house.
Okay? Joining most things cannot buy you the bungalow house.
It's true.
You know, may not, right? May not, but it can give you a wonderful home, a wonderful feeling. Knowing that, you know, you did help another person.
Yeah.
So I think personally why I continue staying where I am is because of the mission that was handed down to me from my predecessors.
It's interesting because I feel like there are many people that come out in their early 20s, right? And then they also realize that they don't want to sit at their table for 9 to 5 and do something else, right? And then they always feel like, I want something more interesting, can do different things every day.
Meaningful.
Not even that. Wow. I feel like, as in, especially during my time, lah. My time meaningful is something that you do on the side.
That's like 1 year older than me.
Be very clear that we want to work, we want to make money, but we don't want work to be so draining, correct? And so the options in my time was that if you want every day to feel a bit different, you can join marketing, you can join events.
They did both.
That's true. That's true. Because like you don't understand. I mean, now I spend 8 hours. It's funny how life works.
It finds you lah.
No, but it's interesting that social service is also one of these. Then like I never thought about it.
Are more people joining the industry now? Like, do you see a lot of people also like switching industries to join this sector?
I think we do see a few more mid-career switch.
Ooh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Because I think the government does have options for like mid-career switch social workers, mid-career switch social practitioners. They call SSPs, lah, social service practitioners. We do have mid-careers coming over, then rescaling them and coming up. So we do.
Because increasingly you think about it, there's very few companies that you can serve and then you feel like got purpose.
Correct.
You know, at the end of the day, even if they are meaning very flighty, I want to enable global banking, they want to bank the bankless. You know, the kind of
marketing
stuff.
Also.
Think about it. Yeah. When you get down to it, you're just forcing people to open bank account when they don't need another bank account or something like that, you know? But this one's interesting in that.
Because you're working with lives.
I was looking online at a Reddit thread as well, and then I saw this list of questions that if you answer like mostly yes to, then you... It kind of indicates that you are like not suited to be a social worker.
Oh, let's
really?
Go.
Yeah.
Oh, you can try.
Do I answer?
Wait, who answers?
We all answer.
Okay.
And then
that's
we see fair. Whether we're
but you can judge the question to see whether it's correct.
Also, this is on Reddit lah. Correct. The source is Trust Me Bro lah.
Question one. Do you feel irksome when people knowingly choose to make decisions which screw up their lives?
Like smoking.
Yes.
No.
Do you feel a strong need to reform people when you think they are going the wrong path?
Yes.
No.
Do you frequently worry for others?
Yes.
Do you find it irritating that you have to patiently explain to people why their ways are irrational?
No.
So those are the four questions and you get how many yeses?
Two.
Mostly
yes.
Then you're not cut out to be social worker?
I also mostly yes.
Really?
According to Trust Me Bro, he said like if you ask yourself these questions and you answer yes to all of them,
you cut up, right?
Then you are not cut out to be a social worker. Why? Because as a social worker, your job is not to inspire clients or fix their lives. Your job is to link them to resources, give advice and planning to help them make informed decisions and respect their decisions.
Even
if you may personally object to those decisions.
Christ, I said no to most of them.
Lucky.
I'm in the right.
You know, you have to change gears on the spot.
But what are your thoughts on that? Like, is there an ideal archetype of a person to join the sector per se?
I would say yes to an extent. For example, if you're a bit more short-tempered and you're a bit more controlling, maybe go get some education and get some therapy first before you join the sector. Because when you're working with lives, right, it's really at their pace. I always joke, you know, with my clients. I say, you know, sometimes I wish I could take your head, zip out, take the brain, wash, and pull back in, zip. Now then, okay, everything will be fine. But it's not. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, right?
So
what you need to do is really just walk through with the individual at their own pace, and you have to suspend your own age judgment and your own timing.
So I've spoken to a few social workers actually, and one of the things that they do bring up occasionally is burnout. How does somebody working in the industry navigate this on their own? Like if I'm new to the industry, so maybe I don't know, I don't understand, right? How do I even know if I'm like taking on too much or I'm going to burn out?
Psychologically speaking, how you know, you will probably look at how languishing you are. Essentially, you just feel like, while you still understand the mission of the work, the idea of, needing to get to do it, right? A bit like super sian.
And have you ever?
As someone that
help people work through burnout, possibly.
Yeah, of course. But if I take social service, right, I would say not only social workers are the people that burn out. Mm. You also could look at people who provide therapy, people who work also directly with kids. Like in Boys Town, they're called youth specialists. So they also, every day, day in, day out, right, the same group of boys or different group of boys, it can take a toll on yourself. If the bleeding heart comes where, can I do more? Yeah, I think you can. The answer is yes, you can. But at what cost? There must be boundaries. Okay, yeah, I think that's the word. Yeah. It might seem very cruel to draw a boundary. Like, oh, how can we leave our patients behind while we go and let's eat, Michelin star ramen while they're suffering, right?
Yeah.
But we also need to know this, that when you are there in your job, for that hours, number of hours, you do the best that you can.
Mm.
And that's all you can within that stipulated time. Outside of that, you need to give yourself the permission to enjoy what you enjoy. Because if not, right, you're not going to be able to step back in the next day, to do the same job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess what works for me personally, I feel is that time away from work. Before COVID, I used to travel quite regularly.
Okay.
Like maybe once every 2 months, I'll go somewhere to refresh myself.
Damn.
No handphone, nothing. Just short trips, you know, Bangkok. You just go there and go crazy, right? My东西吃东西,买东西吃东西睡觉, you know? Or go Hong Kong, also, my东西吃东西,买东西吃东西睡觉, you know? And then Japan is 吃东西.
Yeah.
吃东西. So I guess each one of us must find a different way to basically replenish our energy. More importantly is that don't bring your work home, lah.
Mm.
Yeah, because I do know some of my younger workers would bring their home, whether psychologists, counselors, social workers, right? They are so, you know, they feel so burdened by all the issues, right, of their clients they bring home. But you bring home, so you can't do anything, right? Mm. Someone told me this before and I tried it. Find a significant tree on your way to work. Shu.
Wow, okay.
One of the Singapore got so many trees, right? We plant so many, right? Find a big one now, okay? Find a big tree. So what you do is when you leave work, right? Visualize putting all your work issues on the tree and say, bye-bye, see you tomorrow. Then when you right. Chow, la. Then when you come back, or the next day when you come back to work, right? Then you pick up from the tree and then you go back. Right. Where possible, right? Learn to distance your work from your own life.
But in your industry, 100% agree. It's so difficult, right?
Can be done.
Because the fellow maybe got problem call you at night when you're at home, then you can't
answer. No, that's why you don't give your private number.
Okay.
Yeah, there are multiple hotlines in Singapore. SOS as hotline, IMH as a hotline. Mm. In case of emergency, you already tell your client, hey, if I can't, right, these are the things. So you need to know that your clients are also quite resilient. Because they only see you like that once a month or maybe once every 2 weeks, right? The bulk of their time, they're not with you, eh? Mm. But they're still alive, eh?
Yeah.
Correct? I mean, crisis will come up. You, as long as you are responsible to say, hey, in case anything happens, call this number. You give them the option, right? It's for them to exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's dangerous. If every time you feel like, oh, they call me, I must pick up the phone, I must, you know, where possible you can, but if you can't, right, then always make sure that they have somebody else that they can refer to.
If I'm not wrong, one of them was telling me that every month, her organization, their supervisors have to check in on them just to make sure like, are you okay or not? Are you taking on too much or do you need help and all that? But not so much like them being required to go through like their own forms of therapy and whatnot.
I think every agencies will have their own plans to, you know, to prevent, you know, massive burnout and prevent staff turnover. To the best of our abilities, I think I can only speak for my agency. What we have done so far is, you know how when you're married, you have kids, you do have childcare leave, right?
Mm.
So we find that for those who are not married yet, we give them family care leave. If you are studying, we have study leave that's offered to you. And then if you serve for 5 years, there's something new that we came out. We call it the sabbatical leave scheme. Then you get 10 days off, just go anywhere. And then you get like a certain sum of money to go and study if you want to refresh yourself. But ultimately,
nice.
I think what's important is that the bosses all recognize that people are valuable. Your staff are valuable. We find whatever means we can to be a bit more flexible in some of the struggles that they face. And, you know, know when to press them and know when to also give them the space to chill. You know?
Yeah. I always had this impression that social service, or not say social service per se, like if you work for a company that does social service, be it their HR or whatever, you can be their marketing team also, right?
All right.
And I had a friend, and I remember she was just very early in her career. She changed job to go and join one of those
SSAs, social service agency.
I think so. And I was like, why? I took like very early, you know. I feel like you should make your money first, maybe lah, right? Because it's a personal friend of mine, ma. Then I found out her salary more than how much I pay myself in this company last time. the money not bad.
Oh.
The money really not bad.
Not bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's above median.
Really? I feel like that's a common misconception with the industry.
It is, but no, it's quite open.
I mean, not everybody will be above median, presumably. Correct. I mean,
Got a range lah. Got a range. I think the perception, because it's social service poor thing, right? That people are paid like peanuts and cannot afford this, cannot afford that. But if you look at the range, right? Like quite wide lah. You have even the therapist salary guidelines, psychologist guidelines. NCSS does have quite a fair range, right?
Because they don't want to get the leftover talent, ma, right? They also want the best
because
people, right?
Yeah, dwindling population, everyone is fighting for the same group of people, right?
Yeah.
To work, right? So they need to, you know, entice. So apparently yesterday, I checked in with them. They said, oh, almost every year they will renew the guidelines, you know, the salary guidelines.
Right.
To remain competitive.
What means your salary is so,
censor that.
She's not denying.
I have enough. I would like to say that. Yep.
For people looking to join social service, right, or to be part of it, I think the concern also is that there might not be progression. But seeing that you join as a caseworker, then now you're director
of clinical services.
Hey,
that's true. Yeah, but donated one. My chair donated.
I see.
Yeah.
So does progression happen very naturally or you got very lucky?
I guess it's a bit of both. If I'm not wrong, I think we have advanced quite well, NCSS, as in we, you know. You can go online to go and check out. There's something called a skills framework.
Mm.
So that allows you to know like what kind of task is involved, what's the job description and what's required as you advance the different roles. Mm. So if you do have the capability, right, then it actually is detailed there. So your boss cannot bluff you.
I see.
Then it's also very clear in terms of the progression. Let's say you come from caseworker, then you go and study to become a social worker. Then next level of social worker is also senior social worker, lead social worker, principal. So it's spelled out very clearly for you. And then also it gives you the salary guidelines. Minimum to maximum. So it's very clear. People walk in knowing that, oh, okay, this is something I should expect. As opposed to going in blind and say, how much? So if people offer you 1,000.
You go 3 years, like, what's next?
Correct. So it allows you to have that conversation with your boss to go, hey, according to the guidelines, how do I get there? What do you want to see me do in order to get there? I think at my time, it was there, but it was a bit sketchier. Now we are a lot more specific about the work that's entailed. Because last time it's bao ge liao and everything you do, one big social service. So it's a lot clearer. And then for people, as you advance, right, there are opportunities for you to get more involved in NCSS. Like for example, I'm a social service fellow. So what we do is we take it upon ourselves to mentor the next generation.
Right.
So I presently have 3 mentees who are psychologists and who are growing in the sector. So my job is to guide them and lead them, not to offer pay or what, but just to steer them like, hey, social service is like that one. Then, okay, how else can you grow? What are the skills you need? What are the training you need in order to advance to the next level? So this will be the kind of conversations I have in mentoring them.
Right.
So people who think that they have greater talent, let's say you join, right, then you think, oh, actually I can be director of this organization. You sign up, it's called Sunray Program. So we take a caliber people who are in the sector and we train them up. And then every 3 years, they rotate agencies.
Management associate that kind.
A bit like that, but we are more atas. We call the Sunray.
Got baking vibes. I don't know why.
I know, right? Oh, maybe a sunshine. Sunray. Yeah. Basically, the hope line. You know, Sunray come out.
The
light at the end of the tunnel like that.
So these are the up and coming people that we invest in.
Right.
And then we rotate them.
So you can find out more about this at the
Yeah, show. and they have handlers, you know, who will then look into that. Then there's something called 40 under 40. Mm. So as long as you are 40 years old, you'll be one of the 40 people who sign onto this program. We expose you to a lot more sectoral work. So I think there's even a visit to parliament. And meeting of ministers. So these are the up and coming leaders. So constantly you see us, right? Because as with every job, right, sure got bleed one, right? Some people burn out, last time people go and join this, join that, right? Yeah, you do see that. We try to hold them.
Right.
So we do have people from the outside coming in too, signing up with Sunray and trying to establish leadership and growth.
Very good. Sorry, I'm looking at your polo tee. It says social services tribe.
Tribe.
What is it? This is not your company tee, right?
No. I'm representing NCSS today. So we believe that it takes a tribe to run the whole ship.
Right.
It's not one single person. So while social service always misunderstood as social workers only, right? There are a whole lot more people that are behind this. to run a social service agency.
Like what?
Like for example, for the direct staff, right? You have the social workers, you have the counselors, you have the youth specialists, you have the occupational therapists, you have the psychologists. The social service also made it, or the other corporate people manage the books,
right?
The accounts, HR, the finance, the HR, the marketing,
I see.
The okay, admin, okay. You know, if you have a passion to want to work with people, the disadvantage to lend, okay, a hand and you're gifting, to better their lives, come and speak to us. And then go onto the website and then you can see the whole range of jobs that are available. Come and take a look, you know.
I mean, no, life, don't push my people. It'll be much.
Won't
lah.
You stay where you are, but if you're convinced. But if you're convinced, right, then come and take a look,
course,
you know.
Of course, no. For humanity.
Yeah, your eyes will be open.
All right, and that's it for today. This episode was brought to you by NCSS. So big thank you to them. And of course, Adrian, for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
We hope that today's conversation has given you a better idea of what a career in social service looks like. And for more information, you can head down over to the links below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
When I was like doing my homework, right? Checking out on you guys and just binge watching, right?
Hey, thanks. Yeah, Which one of us have mental problem?
Later,
he's confirmed him.
I give 100 hours free.
Wow, that's a day.
Wow, that's so good. Yeah.
That's like $20,000 you're putting on the table.
Pro bono.
Ooh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.